Our study tonight is out of Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 23 through 26. God's restoration of the southern kingdom of Judah. Under section 1, letter B, the first sentence there, I have the reading. It says Jeremiah 31, 2 to 22. That's a mistake. I meant it to be Jeremiah 31, 23 to 26. I apologize for that. When God's people face hard times, be they trials to punishment for sin or persecution for the sake of righteousness, the Lord knows they need to be encouraged. So he provides it. After predicting the Babylonian captivity, but before its fulfillment, God had Jeremiah predict his promises of not only restoring his people from the Babylonian captivity, but of restoring the southern kingdom of Judah to the promised land in Jeremiah 31, 23 to 26. So we view that passage for our insight and edification. I'd like to read it first, and then we'll look at Jeremiah 31, begin at verse 23, and we have four verses here, 23 to 26. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as yet they shall use this saying in the land of Judah and in the cities thereof when I shall bring again their captivity. Quote, the Lord bless thee, O habitation of justice and mountain of holiness. End of quote. And there shall dwell in Judah itself and in all the cities thereof together husbandmen, farmers, as they go forth with their flocks, and shepherds as they go forth with their flocks. For I have satiated the weary soul, I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Upon this I awakened, behold, and my sleep was sweet unto me. Very interesting passage of scripture. After predicting the restoration of the northern kingdom of Israel, Jeremiah was led of God to predict the restoration of the southern kingdom of Judah to the promised land in Jeremiah 31, 23. Remember, Jeremiah was ministering to the southern kingdom. It was not in captivity yet. The northern kingdom had gone into captivity sometime before, but he's ministering here. And it's interesting how God went on from verses 2 to 22 about the restoration of the northern kingdom that was already in captivity, but on the southern kingdom, just four verses. But nevertheless, those four verses are very, what shall I say, poignant. They're very weighty. So God predicted that again people would use these words of Judah when he restores her fortunes after her captivity. Quote, this is out of the English Standard Version. The Lord bless you, O habitation of righteousness, O holy hill. And this saying predicts the protective shepherding ministry of the Lord in the city of Jerusalem. The Hebrew word for habitation here is the Hebrew word naweh, and it is generally used of pasture, abode of shepherd, like a shepherd's hut out in the field, or habitation or sheepfold, with a distinctly shepherding connotation. You get that both from the Hebrew and English lexicon and then also the theological word book of the Old Testament. The phrase habitation of righteousness in Jeremiah 31, verse 23, also appears in Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 7. And it's in the context, and I'd like to read that. Jeremiah chapter 50, these are the only two places where this phrase is used. Jeremiah 50, verses 6 and 7. God is speaking, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from the mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. All that found them have devoured them. And their adversaries said, we offend not, because they have sinned against the Lord, the habitation of justice, even the Lord, the hope of their fathers. Here we would say the habitation of righteousness, same words. Well, the phrase habitation of righteousness in Jeremiah 31 also appears in Jeremiah 50, verse 7, where, in the context, verses 6 and 7, Jeremiah 50, God's people are likened to lost sheep, whose shepherds have led them astray, turning them away on the mountains to where they had forgotten their fold, sinning against the Lord, their habitation of righteousness. So The habitation in both passages, both in Jeremiah 50 verse 7 as well as Jeremiah 31:23b, is the Lord himself, pictured as the protective fold for his flock. The fold is the enclosure in which the flock would be kept overnight to keep the wolves and the bears and the lions out, and it would protect the flock. And so God himself was this protective fold. And his people are the flock of Judah. So that the saying to be given in God's restoration of Judah to the promised land will be that the Lord will bless Jerusalem where God dwells as her protective fold. In sharp contrast to the city and the temple being destroyed by Babylonian invaders, and God's people being scattered and sent into captivity, the regathering of Judah will involve God's people returning to the promised land to enjoy the Lord's protective shepherding as he will dwell in their midst in the city of Jerusalem. You won't have any cause for fear for the people of Israel in Judah when God is there in the throne. He will be their protective fold. Now, building on this pastoral theme, the word pastoral refers to a countryside or a pastoral or of pastures and lambs and animals and farming. It's emphasis. Building on this pastoral theme, Jeremiah predicted Judah and all her cities would dwell in the land together, and the farmers and shepherds who wander about the countryside with their flocks would typically leave such cities each morning as they headed for the open fields to work, unafraid of any threat of a hostile invading army as in Judah's past history. Whenever you have farmers leaving the city in ancient Israel and shepherds leaving the cities early in the morning, they're taking their sheep out, they're going out into the fields, open fields, it's always a signal of peace, because if there was a threat of an invading army, the shepherds wouldn't go out there, the farmers wouldn't go out there unless they'd be killed by an invading army. So the very fact that they're going out there and they're not concerned at all about being out alone in the early mornings shows that the country is under law and order and there's complete peace. So this is a picture of tremendous peace and tranquility. I remember when I worked on a ranch many years ago, as a teenager, we would get up and we would be out at 7 o'clock in the morning because it's hot in the day. And we'd be changing sprinkler pipes or whatever we were, you know, we had all sorts of chores we had to do, dollar a line, that's what it was in those days. Now we'd probably pay $5 a line. But anyway, we'd get out early in the morning and it was always refreshing. In the summer, we'd get over 100 degrees, 102, 103 constantly in California. But in the morning, it was just beautiful. It was like 70 degrees and it was dry. And it's just a very peaceful setting. And that's what the picture is here, a very peaceful setting. Well, God expanded on this pastoral theme, claiming that he would cause to drink or saturate. The Hebrew word is rawah, and it's in the hifo, meaning it's intensive. He would saturate every faint or weary, life principle. Nepesh refers to emotional and mental and spiritual and physical life. So here, God is likening his people to sheep, and as sheep, you're replenishing the lives of the sheep by bringing them to water. But his people are going to be replenished emotionally and mentally, physically, and spiritually through the ministry of the Lord, the great shepherd. So he's going to help them. And he will fill, malay, every life principle, nepesh, of emotional, mental, spiritual, physical life that languishes. Normally, a person languishes, that means he's drained because he's fatigued, he's worn out, he's tired, he's exhausted, and because of trials and troubles, tribulations that he's faced. So God's going to fill that up, all the drain, emotionally and mentally, spiritually. It's going to be wonderful. All that sin and its effects had done to drain his people of emotional, mental, spiritual, and physical vigor, God would overcome, causing his people to be nourished and replenished in vigor, as Kennedy used to say, in vigor, in the coming kingdom era, much as a shepherd causes his flock to drink of a pasture brook for nurture. Jeremiah then testified that he received this information in a dream, It's interesting. Sometimes God would speak to him in a vision. Sometimes he would speak to him audibly. This one he got in a dream when he was sleeping. And at this point, he woke from sleep, and his sleep had been pleasant to him. In other words, the dream was a good dream, and he woke up refreshed. God apparently gave him an experiential foretaste of the great refreshment Jeremiah, as a suffering prophet, would experience in that coming messianic kingdom. See, Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. He's a prophet who was persecuted heavily. He grieved over the loss of people. He's the prophet who wrote the Book of Lamentations at the fall of Jerusalem. But at this particular point, the Lord gave him a refreshing encouragement of what he was going to be witnessing in the Messianic Kingdom. And of course, in the Messianic Kingdom, he's going to be resurrected, and he's going to be in his own inherited lot. In fact, we're going to find out later that the Lord made him go out and buy a piece of property in Anathoth, his hometown, so that he could take that property and take custody of that property in the Messianic Kingdom. So he's still waiting. He's up in heaven. He's waiting for the resurrection so that he can get his property in Anathoth as a priest and come back. So God revealed through his prophet Jeremiah that when he restores his people Judah to the promised land of the coming Messianic Kingdom, God as their shepherd will restore them as in a gentle, peaceful, pastoral setting, completely renewing them emotionally and mentally, spiritually and physically from all the drain and pain of sin and its effects of the past. So, may we rejoice in the hope of future blessing in the kingdom, and may we take heart, as did Jeremiah, in focusing on this hope that we may stay fervent for the Lord. Also, God may at times give us a little foretaste of blessing in life's trials, as he did here with the weeping prophet Jeremiah. So if it occurs, enjoy. Those are blessings that God every now and then gives his people just to lift us up and encourage us. And we need to go with that. So these messages are always uplifting because we're looking forward to the future, and God wants us to look forward to the future. He wants us to look expectantly for his kingdom. And of course, if the rapture happens tonight, the kingdom is only 7 years off. It's not that far. So that's going to be wonderful. So what we need to do is to take heart and go with the flow, go with the promises, and go with the encouragement that the Lord's providing us. And someday, all of the needs that we have will be filled up. All of the pain, all the suffering will all be past. And it will be a time of enormous blessing, and it will go on for trillions upon trillions upon trillions of years, and that's just the start. So what's going on in this earth, even if it's full of woe, is very temporary. It's just temporary. But eternity is forever. So we need to focus on eternity and live for it, and live for the Lord accordingly.